Right. Henry's going to be speaking during this month of what Jesus says about himself. So the reading today is John 6, verses 22 to 35. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Thanks be to God.
Right, so as has been said, I'd like us to focus on the claims of Jesus for probably the coming few weeks, Sundays, and I've captioned it, "Jesus in His Own Words." And we're going to look at what the Greek calls the egoemi and the Hebrew tetragrammaton Yahweh, which is simply, "I am," and the claims of Jesus Christ to his divinity, to his supremacy. You know, these days, we live in an age where several people believe several things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know some religions consider him a prophet, and some people have different opinions about the person of Jesus Christ. But for me, as someone who believes in the Bible, in the entirety of the Bible, I believe that the gospel is the word of God. And in it, Jesus says who he is, and that's what I believe. And that's what I believe, that he is supreme, he is God, and he means what he says. So we're going to focus on, in the book of John, on all these sayings of Jesus Christ describing himself and laying claim to his authority and to his divinity and to his deity. And so we'll see them, the first one from what we're going to consider this morning, when he proclaimed, "I am the bread of life," as we see in John chapter 6, exactly from 34, 35, and 48. And following that, he makes a claim again that, "I am the light of the world." in John chapter 8. And then he goes on, I am the door of the sheep in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10, again, going forward to 11 to 14. I am the resurrection and the life in John 11, again, in 15. He goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A bold claim that Jesus says from his mouth, and I believe, and that is true. And then he concludes in John 15, I am the true vine. So we'll find time to go through all these claims of Jesus Christ in the coming few weeks. I trust God to lead us. So when Jesus comes along proclaiming the words, I am, and like I said, ego eimi in Greek and in the Hebrew tetragrammaton, Yahweh, it is an intense way of Jesus to refer to himself. And it means simply, I am, I always was, and I always will be. And so I am is the name of God, the power of God, and proclaims the authority of God. And Jesus claims this as his own. So when he refers to himself as the I am, he proclaimed that he is God, and is a declaration of his deity, like I said, a revelation of his divinity. And I believe, and I know we do, that the deity of Christ is biblical. Jesus, the second person of the triune God, consisting of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, proclaimed that. And it's echoed all through the Bible. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, when he says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. He is already equal with God, but in humility, he did not consider to use that to his advantage. And you remember John chapter 1, in the very beginning of the verse, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, the Word was Jesus. There was nothing that was made, that was not made by him. That says Jesus Christ is God himself. And so when Jesus had this exchange, you remember, between himself and the Jews in John chapter 8, he went on to say to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, it was when he told them that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said to him, what are you saying? Are you saying we are in bondage? We have been Abraham's seed, and our father is Abraham. And Jesus shocked them to say, all right, Abraham is your father. But listen to this. Before Abraham was, I am. And he called them, because they were Jews, and so they knew the scriptures, so he called them back to Exodus. And when God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what to say to the Israelites when he called Moses, I am, has sent you me to you. So when Jesus called them back to Exodus, he was kind of letting them know, I am that one that was spoken of in the Old Testament. I am the Yahweh. I am the great I am. And that's a bold declaration. And I believe they knew that this is the one they've been looking for, even though some of them failed to acknowledge that. Going back to where we read in John chapter 6, our passage this morning begins by saying, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that There was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone on the following day. Well, so this happened following the account of the miracle of Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000 men. Well, most people believe that there were more than 20,000 on that day. If the Bible says 5,000 men, there might have been more women and children than men. And so most scholars believe that there were more than 20,000 people. So Jesus fed, let's say, 20,000 people with the five loaves and the bread and two fish. And so just the day before what Jesus proclaimed to them, he had done these miracles. And we know what happened on that day when this little boy with his lunchbox, I believe, given by his parents, they asked, "What shall we do?" And he offered to give his meal, his lunch, and Jesus blessed, as we know the story, and asked the people to sit down, and they were fed, and 12 baskets were left and was handed over to the disciples. And when Jesus did this, they wanted to grab him and make him king by force, but he went away from them. And because he is interested not only in the physical nourishment, but in our spiritual nourishment as well. He's interested, Jesus, I believe, even in those days and today, not only feeding us physically, but also feeding us spiritually, emotionally, and all around. So they asked him, "Jesus, when did you get here?" And he shocked them by pointing them to their real motive. "You are looking for me," in verse 26, "not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." And so your attraction is not just to come and see me, but you are interested in what you're going to have, what you're going to get. Each time I read this passage, I always remind myself that I've been in the church enough to know that in most places, people come to Jesus because of what they will get, but not what Jesus will give them. But anyway, Jesus pointed them to their real motive and said, "Well, I know why you are here. You are looking for the physical bread, but I point you to something beyond what you're looking for." So when Jesus said to them, "I am the food of life, I am the bread of life," he used some sort of metaphor from what they knew to what they needed to know. So if we will understand the Bible, somehow Jesus uses metaphors most times to point from one A to another B. And the Bible is full of metaphors. "The Lord is my shepherd." And the Bible says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is not just a door, but he is a door. And if we will understand the Bible, actually, sometimes we have to look beyond the face value into the deeper meaning of what is being said. And you are the salt of the earth. Metaphors bring truth to life, and they are very powerful. And when we pay attention to them, we tend to understand beyond what has been said. They make teachings tangible. I know teachers will agree with that. When we use metaphors, they make our teachings more tangible. So in comparing himself to the fundamental source of nourishment, Jesus, you know, creates a metaphor for his role as a provider of nourishment for our souls. And so why bread? Why did Jesus talk about himself as bread or as food? I like to say that people eat food to satisfy human hunger. And so for us to satisfy our spiritual thirst, as it were, we need Jesus. He is the only one. He is the only thing, if I'll use that, but he is the only one that can satisfy us. Food can also divide. Food can also unite. I live in a place that people can fight over food, and people can be united over food. There are friends that are made because we share some food in common. And there are some people that disagree because of what they eat or what they don't eat. When I got married to Anita, she's not here, so I can say this. But anyway, she knows, because we've said this over and over and over. I am that kind of person that I am good with most things. But, you know, there are people in life that are picky, you know, that select. They are very selective of what they eat, what they drink, and all that. So when God brings such people together, well, they need a lot of compromise for them to live together. And so when we got married, I wanted this, I wanted that, but because she didn't want that, why wouldn't you have this? But we had to kind of come from here and come from here, and we had a lot of, you know, compromise. And well, what I'm saying is that food can divide. And to be honest, Jesus himself, because of what we believe about him, can also divide a family. I know a family, a couple, one is Muslim and the other is Christian. You know, I grew up in a place that is majority Muslim. One is Christian, one is Muslim. And because of Jesus Christ, they nearly broke up just because of who Jesus is. So Jesus can divide, but Jesus unites people. Food is also a very important need of life. And so I make bold to say that Jesus Christ is very important to our lives. For us to conquer, we need Jesus. For us to overcome, we need Jesus. Master, what must we do that we might walk the works of God? They asked him. And, you know, today, Jesus wants us to know that it's not all about what we do, but it's about who we are. We want to do. Yeah, it's natural for us to do, but it is who we are to Jesus. Our being is what is more important. But I like to say that each one of us, I believe strongly, we've got our different gifts. We've got our different talents. God has gifted us differently. He has gifted us, you know, for us to use them, as we've seen this morning, as always, we bring up our giftings to serve each other. But it's not about what we do. It's about who we are that empowers us to do what we do. And so not just what shall we do that we might walk the words of God, but believe in the Lord, and he is the one that you really need. So we're going to spend, you know, the next couple of weeks, like I said, looking at these claims of Jesus. But I thought I would lay kind of groundwork today and coming up with the first one, that Jesus already proclaimed, that he is the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me shall never hunger. and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Satisfying God does not come from what we do, but from whom we believe. Jesus is ready and he is willing to feed us beyond the physical, to satisfy our natural and physical need, but he is quite willing to feed us spiritually, emotionally, spiritually, and all around. And we pray today that the Lord will continue to do his work in our lives. Let's come together in prayer, praying for ourselves and praying that whatever we do all through this week, in the month of May, that Jesus Christ will feed us. Lord, we pray that you will touch us at the point of our need, O Lord. We believe that you will come to us, O Lord, when we are vulnerable at the lowest time of our lives. And we trust you to fulfill what you have said. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with your word. And we pray, O Lord, for those who are hungry. There are many people all over the world that are hungry physically. They need food. Lord, when we live in a place that food is wasted, we don't even realize and think about other people in several parts of the world that are going hungry. We pray, O Lord, that you are the provider, that you will provide for such people. We also pray, O Lord, for those who are spiritually hungry, even amongst us, even on our streets today, in our nation, there are people who are really, really hungry, looking for the nourishment that Jesus gives. We pray that you will use us, Lord, as your instruments, and that you use us as your vessels to bring nourishment to these people and to satisfy their spiritual taste. We thank you, O Lord, for everything you've done in our lives, and we believe you that you will lead us through this week and through this month to the glory of your holy name. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 So we will...